the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, you choose today's special to listen from IRIB English Radio. Salamu alaikum and welcome. We're going to speak about the importance of friend in Islam.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Today, Thursday, is the 17th of Rabiul Thani, 1442. of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar corresponding to the 13th of Azar 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 3rd of December 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We look at the Holy Quran, we listen to chapter Hujurat, verse 10.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
The believers are but brothers, so make settlement between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question treats of relationship amongst believers like that between brothers. The similitude demonstrates a number of points, including: the friendship between two brothers is deeply rooted and firm. The friendship between two brothers is bilateral rather than unilateral. Such friendship is based on innate nature and disposition rather than on worldly and mundane appeals. And two brothers are unanimous before strangers and support each other.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have because you gave. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker.
We search for the answer of this question: what does Islam say about friendship? Humans have always been social creatures and in need of friends and companions. A good part of our lives is spent in interaction with others. For Muslims like us, who are living in a society where we are clearly a minority, the issue of choosing the right companions is essential for preserving our deen. Befriending righteous and virtuous Muslims is a necessary means for staying on the straight path. In an authentic hadith, the Prophet Muhammad said, "A person is likely to follow the faith of his friend, so look whom you befriend." Mixing with followers of any way other than that of the guidance results in a change in one's behavior, morals, and conduct. If we accompany such friends, then we inherit their habits, behavior, and perhaps even their religion. Such a Muslim would find himself in a situation where he is willing to hide his or her Islam in front of those who despise it, those whom he considers as friends, and to separate from the believers.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about friendship and fraternity. Once you've made friends with someone, you've got sure, you've got confident that the other one, the other person, really deserves this kind of friendship. You have to approach him always with a smile, because smile is a thread of relationship, a thread of friendship. Another point is that you have to be lenient, you have to be tolerant and lenient with your friend. At the same time, you are expected to be fair-minded. One shouldn't like other people's being fair-minded with regard to him or her. Rather, he or she should behave like this, should treat other people in this way. Naturally, if we don't like something for ourselves, we shouldn't like it or we shouldn't practice it in the case of other people. If we want other people to respect us, we have to respect them as well. At the same time, we find that people should behave in should treat each other in a good way. I mean, people should treat each other in such a way that they wouldn't go to the extreme, because going to the extreme harms one's relationship with other people. We find that being lenient, being smiling, and being fair-minded with other people, or with regard to feeling really friendly with other people, enables us to continue our friendship with other people. With notable people in our community.
Hey, all my life, doubting was a part of me. Day and night, I fight my insecurities, asking why. Why am I? Who am I? I just want some peace of mind. And the salam, for me, the salam, the barakaya, the jalal, and the ikram. And the salam, for me, the salam, the barakaya.
Now, rights of friends on today's special, excusation. Do not take the enemy of your friend as a friend, because you will thus antagonize your friend. Never use trickery. It is the manner of evil ones. Give true advice to your brother. Be it good or bitter, help your brother in any case and go with him wherever he goes, and never retaliate him even if he throws dust in your mouth. Prevail your enemy by doing favor to him. This is more successful. You will save yourself from people by good manners. There is no sweeter thing than swallowing one's anger in the end, and nothing more pleasant in consequence. Never suspect in your brother, and never leave him without blaming. Be lenient to him who is harsh to you, for it is likely that he will shortly become lenient to you. Rupture of relations is very ugly. What an ugly thing is an alienation after brotherhood, enmity after affection, betraying those who trust you, disappointing those who expect your good, and cheating those who confide in you. Friendly ways, how to choose good friends in Islam. Choose friends who can bring balance in areas where you are weaker. We all have our strength and weakness. You know what yours are. With the right friends, you can tap into the talents, skills, and abilities of those that have expertise in areas that you don't. Maybe you aren't the best at keeping your closet organized, but you have a friend that loves organizing. Enlist her help. You might be a great writer and can offer assistance to a friend. When you utilize each other's strength, everyone wins. A friend who does not like to criticize. Dear friend, choose a friend who does not like to criticize others, since the law of harming others in Islam is forbidden.
We see that the Imam alayhi salam, in a beautiful hadith, he says one of the qualities of true friends are those whose presence reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their tongue, meaning their words, their speech, increase your knowledge. And number three, their actions remind you of the Day of Judgment. That's a true friend. A friend whom when you spend time with, you are reminded of your Creator, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A true friend is someone who makes you closer to the Almighty God. Not someone who simply awakens your desires for you. Because you know, sometimes people are innocent. Really, they have good intentions. They mean no harm. They're trying to protect themselves from corruption. But then their friends are always trying to awaken their desires. A true friend is not someone who will try to awaken your desires and simply drag you into the entertainment world just so you could have fun. Yes, having fun with your friends is great. But if it's appropriate, if it's halal fun, that's fine. In fact, if you have a friend who's humorous, who will change your attitude, make you feel good, that's wonderful. Cherish those friends. But if you find that your friends are pulling you to awaken your desires and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this friend is not reminding you of your Lord, is distracting you from your Lord, this is a red flag. Avoid such friends, brothers and sisters. Friends who do not remind you about what's right and what's wrong. All they're doing is they're instigating you. You go with them, first of all, you waste your time. 3, 4, 5 hours wasting your time with them. You don't benefit anything from them. The Imam says, true friends are those, when they speak, you benefit from them. They give you a new perspective on life. They teach you how to be successful. They share a good experience with you. Some friends, believe me, if you sit with them for 100 hours, you don't benefit a single minute. Not a single minute. All of it is a waste of time. And on top of that, instead of showing you what's right, what do they do? They're constantly instigating you and encouraging you to fall in the wrong path.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about listening to a general advice from the model of magnanimity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. When you gain power over your adversary, pardon him by way of thanks for being able to overpower him. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abi al-Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the great qualities and attributes that we as human beings, and more so as Muslims, can have is the attribute of being generous, of giving charity, of being open-handed. These are things that, you know, are promoted in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, within the Holy Quran, and so on and so forth. And as we mentioned many times before, it is a human trait that if somebody has something in excess, it is worthwhile for him to give it to somebody who has nothing. You know, this is something that, you know, we can think about and we can ponder upon. And it comes to us that, you know, I have so much of something that it is worthy and it is worthwhile rather for me to give it to somebody who can actually use it, that I'm not using at this moment in time. Especially if somebody believes that giving charity is actually giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense and give back to that person tenfold what he has given, as an example. But in this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we see that the Holy Prophet is telling us that, you know, giving is an opportunity, and do not waste that opportunity because of a certain thought process that you may have, and certain incidents that might have happened to you in the past. For you do not know that every single instance is like the one that has just appeared in front of you. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that do not ever snub the beggar's request. If someone comes to you and asks you for something, do not, you know, completely just reject it out of hand. For were it not for the fact that some of them do lie. Now yes, we do know that some people do not really need the money and do not really need to come out and beg and to show themselves as being paupers. Some people actually have for example, in certain countries, that a job of a person is actually just to go out and beg, and he earns quite a bit of money, or she earns quite a bit of money like doing this. The Holy Prophet says that do not just reject somebody because you know that certain of them lie. Though, and the Holy Prophet then continues, those who turn beggars away will never prosper. And the Holy Prophet is showing on our side that that person who gives, who is able to give, if he continues just to turn people away, he will not be able to achieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has placed in this act of being generous and charitable. Even if that person on the other side does not in need of it, or is lying, or is showing a face. No, the Holy Prophet is saying that it is benefit for the actual giver. It is more benefit actually for the giver. And this is what the Holy Prophet said, that giving is an opportunity for us to attain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to have husnadhan, and to think well about the person opposite us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are charitable, to make us of those who give, and to grant us opportunities to give wherever possible. For it is in this giving that we prosper and earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran, and its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. John Meadows Rothwell, in the preface of his translation of the Quran, has written the following about the Noble Quran. It must be acknowledged, too, that the Quran deserves the highest praise for its conceptions of divine nature in reference to the attributes of power, knowledge, and universal providence and unity, that its belief and trust in the one Allah of heaven and earth is deep and fervent, and that it embodies much of the noble and deep moral earnestness and sententious oracular wisdom, and has been proved that there are elements in it on which mighty nations and conquering empires can be built up. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah At-Tariq, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. Let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was-samaa'i wat-tariq. وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر والسماء إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا صدق الله العلي العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Al-Tariq, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. Now let's analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والسماء والطارق. Okay, I want to talk about the مد المتصل in this verse. مد takes place whenever there is a long vowel that's followed by a means of مد or سبب of مد, something that causes the long vowel to be lengthened more than two vowel counts. Hamza is one of the sabab, or means, of mad. When it's in the same word, we have madul muttasil. When it's in another word, when hamza is followed by the long vowel in another word, it's called madul munfasil. As you can see here, we have madul muttasil because as-sama is one word. We have to lengthen matul muttasil to four or five vowel counts. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَطَّارِقَ. Now here we have matul munfasil, the opposite of muttasil, the disjunct mat. وَمَا, ma is one word, and أَدْرَاكَ, which has the hamzatul qata in it, is another word. So we have matul munfasil. Matul munfasil is not a compulsory mat in riwayah of Hafs an Asim. It's optional, especially from the tariq of Tayyibatul Nashr. You are allowed to do qasr, which means lengthening the mad only to two vowel counts, like any normal madul tabi'i or natural mad. So what Hassan did was he did not lengthen this mad more than two vowel counts. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَطَّارِقَ. Ta has all the strong characteristics. It's the strongest letter in the Arabic alphabet. It has jahr, shidda, isti'la, itbaq, qalqala, and all ismat. It has all the strong characteristics. So you have to pronounce it with strength, with force. Al-tariq. An-najmu thaqib. Notice the noon, which has a shadda, you have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ. نفس لما. We have idgham of nun sakina bila ghunna. There's no ghunna. نفس لما. Because there's a lam after the tanween. لما عليها حافظ. We have a law, so you have to take care that you apply the tafkhim of law, even though the law is has sukun, so the tafkhim is going to be relatively low. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقَ. We have two ikhfas. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ. So two ikhfas of nun sakina. خُلِقَ مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ. Another ikhfa. Actually, we first had the matul muttasil, and then we had tanween followed by one of the letters of ikhfa, which is dal here. So you have to approximate the place of articulation of dal and make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. مِن بَيْنِ, we have إِقْلَاب of نُون ساكنة, which means نُون transforms or changes into ميم ساكنة, and إِخْفَى of ميم ساكنة is applied as a result. إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجَعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. قادر. The qaf has tafkhim at the highest level because it has alif ul mad. يوم تبلى السرائر. We have two ra's. سرائر. The first one has tafkhim, the second one has tarqiq. Thickness and thinness, respectively. فما له من قوة ولا ناصر. فما له من قوة ولا ناصر. We have two غنّة. One is إخفاء and the other one is إدغام مع الغنّة. Okay, we're out of time, unfortunately, and we can't finish this surah. So, may Allah bless you all, and may you be in Allah's care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كتاب الله كتاب الله
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, as we mentioned in one of our previous episodes, the chapter of Hud, or the Surah Hud, you know, Hud, obviously, as you know, is the name of one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who went through great trials and tribulations, but at the end of the day, he acquired and attained victory, and not so, he acquired the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Hud, as we mentioned previously, is that surah that shows the completeness of human endeavor, and it gives us, you know, plenty of lessons and plenty of role models of how to go forward in our own lives. Within this beautiful chapter, there is one specific verse that is the 44th verse of the surah. This verse speaks about the ending of the period of the flood of Nuh alayhi salam, and the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to the earth and to the clouds and to the rain and so on and so forth. Again, when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, it does not mean speaking like me and you, any of the taking in of oxygen and the creation of sound waves by moving our mouth in a particular manner, and cut the short story, to make a long story short. But no, it is a command, it is this kun fayakun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that requires a discussion in philosophy and in theology, which is beyond our scope of discussion. So this verse, which is the 44th verse of the Holy Quran, rather the 44th verse of the 11th chapter of the Holy Quran, it is said it is one of those verses that which is at the peak and at the height of eloquence and rhetoric. It is mentioned that a group of the Quraishi unbelievers decided to, you know, wage war against the Holy Quran. And these were the best of those who were adibs or grammarians. They were the best in those who knew eloquence, they knew balagha, and they knew Quranic rhetoric and Arabic, you know, the beauties and the intricacies of the Arabic language. So they decided to wage war against the Holy Quran and to go against it, as the challenge of the Holy Quran is to bring a surah like it. And they decided to do so. So it is said that for 40 days they gathered and they ate the bare minimum. So basically they would just eat just as much that they could, you know, stay alive. And they would basically cleanse their minds out of everything except waging war against the Holy Quran. This was the duty. Or this is what they decided to do for 40 days, it is said. So anyway, while they were doing it and while they were trying to kind of find a way or find ways to bring sentences and sentence structures and, you know, put them together in order to match up with the eloquence of the Holy Quran, they came across this verse of the Holy Quran, the 44th verse of Surah Hud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, then it was said, O earth, swallow your water. O sky, leave off. That means, you know, stop raining. And then the waters receded, obviously the flood, and then the waters kind of, you know, went away and it became, you know, normal land. The edict was carried out, that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the earth and by the sky, by the water was followed. And then the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam settled on a mount or a place known as Judi, as the Holy Quran says in this verse. Then it was said, away with the wrongdoing Lot. So here we see this is the verse of the Holy Quran. And then when these individuals, these so-called Arabic grammarians and scholars of Arabic came across this verse, they said that, you know, this is a speech that nothing, you know, can come close to. This is a speech that cannot be copied, nor can it be bettered. It is not a speech that we as creation can copy. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
What I want to talk about is the personal interactions that we have with individuals when it comes to raising children and being being in a position of doing tarbiyah with others. So this is a particularly sensitive relationship that Allah puts us into, where we are in a capacity where we can influence other people. It comes up for parents, it comes up for teachers. The concept of ihsan is extremely important when we do so. Why? Because there's one time when you could say that, okay, you can look at things and say that, okay, well, these are the red lines, and this is, you know, you're, like, let's say that you're a parent and there's a child and they're, let's say, going on a path that you're not happy with. So you take an approach which is to crack down on them. You say that, okay, well, you're going in a path that you shouldn't be, therefore I want to be harsh with you, I'm going to interact with you in this way. Now, that type of approach is not looking at it from the perspective of ihsan. Ihsan says that, look, my goal in terms of helping others, I have a responsibility. I've been put in a position where I can influence others. Now, if I want to achieve that goal, what is the best way that I can take to do so? It's not by being forceful and harshful. It's by doing things in a step-by-step manner, by having a lot of respect, by setting expectations, but knowing that especially when a child grows, they are going to at times be, you know, doing things contrary to the expectations, but being able to forgive that and look past that and moving beyond that. There's a very important and useful tradition that's reported from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He says that the human soul, the likeness of it is like a horse that you're, like a wild horse that you're trying to tame. If you take things too fast, then you're going to be thrown off that horse, right? It's going to rebel, and in fact, it might even end up being more wild than it was when you started. But if you want this to stick around, and you want to have want to be able to tame that horse, then you do things in a gradual manner. So this is extremely important when we're in the position where we have children, we have youth that we're interacting with. We have to be able to, on one hand, be very firm about the red lines, right? There's no room for compromise when it comes to haram, when it comes to neglecting the duty. But at the same time, when it comes to the other things like, you know, behavior, when it comes to attitude, when it comes to helping out, when it comes to all these things that eventually we would like, you know, our children and the youth to be at, we have to be looking at an approach which is gradual, an approach which is positive in nature. A lot of times, parents wonder, they say that, okay, well, how can I, you know, what is the strategy they can take? Because it happens that, you know, our children, you know, do things which are contrary to our expectations. So what approach that we can take? One of the most effective approaches is to look at things from the perspective of what our child is meant to achieve and how we can make sure that when we're trying to point out things that they're doing wrong, we do so in light of understanding what they ought to be at. I'm going to give you an example right now. The human being is created for perfection. So when it's the case that somebody is falling short of perfection, there's one time you can say that, oh, you are a loser, you're doing these things. I'm disappointed with you. I'm going to punish you. There's another time when you can say that you are somebody who I have high expectations for because you're a human being. You're supposed to be the representative of God. You're supposed to be the perfect mirror for all of perfection. Why is it that you have fallen short of that? Why is it that I don't see you achieving your full God-given potential? I'm surprised that you took this step and you did this thing. That type of approach is much more effective. There was once a young man by the name of Ali. It's a story which is told frequently, but it's a good story. I really like this story. There's a man named Ali. He was a young, like a teenager type of guy, and he was really struggling. Right? He was you know, into the latest fashions. You know, he wasn't very much into, like, you know, the worship of God. And his parents were worried about him. He was kind of known in the town for being somebody who was sort of tending towards irreligiousness. And he was living in the city of Najaf, and it just so happened that one time, you know, he came across Sayyid Ali Qadi Tabatabai. And Sayyid Qadi happened to recognize him. He knew him through, you know, different family ties. So he greets him and he starts talking to him. And then you know, as he's sort of departing, Sayyid Ali Khalid Tabatabai has one comment for him. Because he also saw himself as being responsible for the tarbiyah of this young person. Right? He had a, in some way he could influence him. Now, what does he tell him? He says, they happen to be standing in the proximity of the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he tells him, Ali, there's one thing I want to say to you. Your name is Ali, and that's Ali. Now you go and see, how are you in relation to him? That's it. Okay, that one statement. And this one advice from Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai led to a complete transformation in the life of Ali. And, you know, he abandoned his previous, you know, sort of habits. You know, he started to like be inclined towards the worship of God. And eventually he became known as the famous Sheikh Ali Zahid. Ali Az-Zahid. Like he actually took on the title Az-Zahid, the one who is, you know, not attached to the world. And you know, even now there are people who go to his grave and, you know, they seek blessings of God from the grave because he's somebody who, you know, was quite renowned in his life. Now, that is the story of an individual, but the concept can be applied when we're interacting with others. Of rather than taking approach of always criticizing, of always like pointing out what's wrong, look at it from this perspective. That look at, this is the expectations that Allah has for you. This is what He created for you. This is what you can achieve. And acknowledging the positive things that they're doing and praising them for that. And if they happen to fall short, then it's not that, oh, you are a loser and you're this, but rather it's that, well, this is the expectation that we had for you. I'm sorry to see that you're not fulfilling that expectation. One of the areas that we as a community need to really work on as a whole, and I'm speaking to everyone, not any individual, as a whole, is in building stronger families. If you look at the state, typical state of families in our communities, and you look at the ideal that has been set by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and you look at the type of interactions that they used to have in their family, you feel that there's a lot that's missing. One of the major causes for why even we see that the faith isn't being conveyed to the next generation, it's because of not having a strong family environment. And when youth, when young people don't feel that the home is their safe haven, then of course they would like to find a safe haven somewhere else. What is one of the cornerstones of having a strong family life? It's the relationship between a husband and a wife. And this topic of ihsan, it's something which very much is a key to being able to solve a lot of the problems that appear within the family. Because ihsan means that when one spouse is in some way being, you know, in some way either violating the rights of the other spouse, or they're bothering them, or they're annoying them, or they have some faults, ihsan means that rather than taking an aggressive approach, rather than responding to bad with bad, we respond to bad with good. We respond to bad with forgiveness. We respond to bad with overlooking. We respond to bad with love. And even though it might seem counterintuitive, especially at the moment, especially when, you know, something's happened and we feel that, like, you know, how could they do that to me? It might seem counterintuitive to respond with good. Actually, if we look at the way human beings operate, in many cases, responding to bad behavior with good, with ihsan, with beauty, with compassion, it's actually going to lead to a better outcome at the end.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyumun Rauf Saburun Majid.
Oh, اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to the program Back to Reality on IRIB English Radio. With me today are two lovely brothers. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. This is Mohsen Naqvi. Thanks for inviting.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Daryl from US. Thank you.
So, the topic that we have for today is how can violence against girls and women be stopped? You know, as we know today, there is a lot of violence against women in this world. You know, they're being beaten up either by their husbands, sometimes it's at their workplace. Or in general in society, we see a lot of violence against women. What's the way? What can we do to stop this?
This is a very interesting question. You know why? Because like, for example, you see, like, violence against children, violence against workers, employees. Mm-hmm. So employer to employees. And then, like, you see all these pressures that mm-hmm. comes from different, you know, different topics, different sects, group of people.
Yeah.
From this religion to that religion, for example, this tribe to that tribe. I find that very interesting that all this thing has to do with the justice and adl of mm-hmm. the human being, a human society and individual. It has to do with the character. It doesn't have to do with the gender, being a male or female. This question by itself can be misguiding by itself.
Wouldn't you say that as men, we don't really get that
but
much beaten up?
It's not necessarily the man. Yeah. Violating the girls or the women.
Yeah, it could be. There are some societies, the woman abuses the men. So this question, yeah, you might be seen more because it's more apparent. Because, yeah. Oh, you see, oh, this guy is hitting his wife or this